tonight. I want to be sure there are so many Facebook people that are coming, but it's beautiful, beautiful people here all gathered here today. And we're speaking on one thing, that we have a voice, we count in this country, and this government needs to recognize that we do count, and we have to be consulted with properly on issues that are going to affect us. Isn't that right, Mi'kmaq? Yeah. I want to acknowledge as well that we are on Mi'kma'ki. In our territory here, we welcome everyone. It is these children here that is absolutely the number one reason we need to stay united and stand together. I want to thank all the chiefs, acknowledge the chiefs here today, all the elders, all our youth, all our women, all our men, all our supporters. Every Canadian here needs to be our partner. It's the government and its way of business we do have a problem with. We never had a problem with coexisting with Canadians. We were open and shared our land and resources, and we believe we can coexist. But we will not allow legislation and suppression amongst our people on policies that do not work for us, and we will start standing together at actions like this and all across the country. We will stand together with our brothers and sisters, the Cree, the Ojibwe, the Dene, the Mohawk, Iroquois, and so forth. I want to also offer the stage here, if anyone feels the need to smudge, just put your hand up and we have people that will take the stage to you. With that, I want to acknowledge the youth organizers. I'm very honored and privileged here to have the opportunity to be asked to help MC. And I was asked by our youth here, Shelley, Facebook messaged me and said, I don't care where you are, you need to come to Halifax, and you're our AFN regional chief, and you need to come here. I'm glad to see you as well. So Shelley and Molly have done a lot of organizing work, and they're going to also be the co-MC today. We have a group of speakers that they organize, and I just want to make sure why we're here together again is that Bill C-45 is a way of business and legislation pulled together that is going to affect the way our rights are being infringed upon. We don't want any of that kind of business and that type of relationship with the federal government. And like I said, our issue is the way with government dealing business. They want us to be accountable, they want us to be transparent. Well, we want them to be accountable and transparent when it comes to our treaty rights. We're going to start off like everything. We're going to ask an elder to come up and do an opening prayer for us. And our youth have asked that this demonstration be a very peaceful one. Like I said, this is where the peace and friendship treaty started in the East Coast. And we want to make sure that we are here just to make sure that consultation happens properly for our people. And this will be the first of many, many times that we need to stand together, and there will be bigger and better crowds and more loud if we're not being dealt with properly. Yeah. I'm going to ask our Grand Council member, Grand Captain Andrew Denny, to do an opening prayer for us. And if you can just give a moment of silence for all our people that think about them, that fought for our rights, that have passed on, that are guaranteed here with us today in spirit, all our relations.
I just did a simple prayer. It's to open a meeting, because today we're meeting together with the youth, you know, with the Native women, with the chiefs, with the Grand Council, with all of us, with our neighbors. And all the prayer says is that come in to where we are, bring the wisdom and the strength that our ancestors had when they talked, when they sat down and discussed, you know, the peace and friendship treaties. That is what the little prayer says. but it includes all of us in Mi'kmaq. It's about time we started calling Nova Scotia what it is, Atlantic Canada for what it is, Mi'kmaq. I want to take this time now to introduce our first speaker, Rebecca Moore from Pictou Landon. Ladies and gentlemen, let's give it up for her.
Okay, this speech was written by a Nick Phillips, who couldn't be here today, edited by myself and Marina Young. My brothers, my sisters, my family, my nation, my people of Mi'kmaq, we gather today, December 14th, to allow our voices to be heard, and coincidentally, we travel the same path of our celebrations of Treaty Day. The day that we together congregate to acknowledge and uphold our friendships with our British associates. These friendships are upheld by treaties. The very treaties that will no longer mean anything if Bill C-45 is passed. Canada has become a region of economical growth with our abundance of resources. Canadians' mining, lodging, oil, and fishing companies are the most powerful ever seen. Nevertheless, our people, our communities, hold some of these commercial enterprises, but yet our people still suffer. For instance, our brothers and sisters in Attawapiskat, whose lands hold valuable resources, yet they are severely affected by poverty conditions. Why do they suffer? The Conservative government is trying to pass many laws so that reserve lands can also be bought and sold by big companies for profit, as if they are commodities. When did land become a commodity? Living conditions of Aboriginal communities are below the national average. Aboriginal people have shorter life expectancies. 1 in 4 Aboriginal people live in poverty. We have higher rates of suicide. We are 4 times more likely to contract tuberculosis. Our diabetes rates are 3 times the national average. 42% of children lack basic dental care. 116 First Nation communities are on a water boil advisory, as we have seen in our own territory. Aboriginals only represent 2.7% of the population of Canada, but 18% prison populations is Aboriginal. The education on reserve received $2,000 less per child. Nearly 600 Aboriginal women have been murdered or are missing within the last 15 years, but we are still here. We have suffered, but we have not given up. Our voices will be heard. Our nations will stand, and we will unite together. We will voice our constitutional rights as people, not commodities of this Euro-Canadian government. Together, we will voice the voice of Mother Earth as she sorrows from greed. Together, we will fight for our communities, our nations, our future generations. Together, as one political voice, we will be idle no more. Harper, we are not a dictatorship. We live in a democratic society. Your government is our government, a government that is run by the people, for the people. And Harper, we do not approve Bill C-45.
Well, Alex, thank you so much, Rebecca. Next on our speakers, I'd like to call upon Jaime Baptiste from Exezonia First Nation. Please.
Hello, Molly. Waldasi, in this cook. Waldasi, everybody was Sianek. I just went out. Kishkad, listen, on La Bill C-45, our government, on that language. Hello, my name is Jaime Baptiste. I'm from the district of Unamagi. I'm glad to be here today with you. I always start off speaking my Mi'kmaq language because I grew up next to one of our Mi'kmaq role models, Grand Captain Alec Denny. And he always told me when you address public, always start off speaking Mi'kmaq. And he gave me 2 reasons for that. The first reason is to show that after 400 years of contact, that our language is strong and our culture is still strong within the Mi'kmaq youth. And secondly, because I'm so pale, no one would believe I was Mi'kmaq. All right, okay, I told Morley I wouldn't tell money jokes. We're here to be angry. We're getting frustrated. Okay, that's my quota. No more jokes. Back to being angry. Okay. So one of the other things he taught me, I live next door, is Egyptian, under his father. He taught me about Nedibalim. And as Nedibalim, that means that we as Mi'kmaq are blessed with rights, but we are also bound by responsibilities. And our responsibilities are to our family, our communities, our nation, and our ecosystem. And that's why we're here today, to honor those responsibilities for our families, for our children, for the young people standing in front of me, to say that we're going to make sure that their generation has it better than ours, and all of the things that our ancestors promised us in our treaties. We're here for our communities so that we don't lead in every negative statistical category that makes life sometimes unbearable in our First Nation communities. We're here for our nation, united, saying that we're going to put aside all of our differences and stand together in solidarity. And most important, well, some would say most importantly, we're here for our ecosystem, to ensure that our environment and our rights will be there for the 7 generations from now. One of the things that people have said is that we are Canada's last hope in terms of stopping this government. And the reason we say that we are the last hope is because as Mi'kmaq, we have Aboriginal and treaty rights signed with the Crown, reaffirmed and recognized in the Constitution of Canada in Section 35. But there's also a clause in that Constitution that they signed called the Supremacy Clause, saying that the Constitution is the supreme law of Canada. Anything that is inconsistent is of no force and effect. That means that our treaty rights, our Aboriginal rights, trump and supersede and are more powerful than any legislation the Harper government will throw at us. We've stood before them many times. I see signs out there that show some of our role models as well. Donald Marshall Jr., Nora Bernard, Grand Captain Alec Denny. They both in Canada and internationally stood up to Canada and said our rights were valid. And many times we have gone to court and we've won. We've won in the Simon case, our right to hunt. We've won in Marshall, our right to commercial fisheries. We've won in Sapir Gray. We've won many times in court. Yet why is it that our communities continue to lead every negative statistic out there? We are here today to have our rights implemented. But if we can't get, we're talking about our Aboriginal and treaty rights, but we can't even get this government to acknowledge our basic human rights and dignity. The right to water, the right to education, the right to not be talked. But I know that we're here today to talk about Bill C-45. And while we're standing up against Bill C-45, against the amendments to the lack of protection for our environments, the lack of recognition of our livelihood right to fish, but we're also here to talk about what isn't in Bill C-45. And there isn't a thing about the illegal confiscation of our lands and resources in that bill. There isn't a thing for reconciliation for the history of colonization and assimilation they put on us. There isn't a peep about equal education funding, safe drinking water, or an inquiry into missing and murdered women in our communities. And I've seen our leaders' frustration as they talk to governments, and we've reminded them over and over, both in the Nova Scotia area and nationally, that their unilateral approach will not stand. And every time they try to pass the legislation that affects our rights, we'll be here and we're getting stronger. There's a new hope though, I see it, and I'm glad when I was asked by the youth to speak here today. And it's because our youth have to take the lead on this. That our youth, we need their energy. We need their frustration. We need their motivation to get this thing started, because we're involved in the new Mi'kmaq Renaissance, a renaissance based on education, based on unity, and I ask our youth to continue with that education and unity. I've often reminded about the seventh generation prophecy during my time with AFN, and they said that 7 generations after the Europeans arrive, our youth will lead and take us to where a place of prosperity. And we're now in that 7th generation. I just want to close today, and I didn't know if the Grand Captain was going to be here, but I'm going to quote him from last year, 25th anniversary of our Treaty Day, when he said, "For 25 years we have stood up and let government know that we will not go away, that we will not go quietly into the night, that we will persevere, that we are prepared to fight. And if it takes another 25 years, you can be sure that as Mi'kmaq, proud, determined, resilient, we are here for the long haul. And believe me, we are just getting warmed up." With all y'all, thank you.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. I want to go on to our next speaker now, a young lady from Millbrook First Nation. Let's hear it up for Jennifer McDonough, ladies and gentlemen.
Hello, everyone. It's an honor for us all to be here today. I just want to say, sorry, I don't mean to get emotional. I'm always like this. I'm always like that emotional person with like a I just want to say, like, what an honor it is for my Native sisters here, Shelly Young and Molly Peters. Let's give it up for them for putting on this for us. It's such an honor for us all to gather here and to be together for such an important cause. We're all here for the BC 45 and to stand up and stand our ground. Get the smudge going here, get the spirits going. I just think it's so important for our youth to understand that this is such an important issue for us all to be educated about. You know, this is our future. This is, I look at my little niece, she was just running by. It's my sister Shelly here's daughter, and she, I just see her and I want to see a future for her that I've been able to grow up in. I want to see her to be able to grow into a strong young First Nations and Mi'kmaq woman. And with these things, with the things that will happen from the Bill C-45, she won't be able to have that strong background. She won't be able to have that stability knowing where she came from, because she won't be able to hunt. She won't be able to practice her traditional ways. And I just think that's so sad. It's so sad to see a future like that for our children, especially coming from a traditional family myself. I have my father here, my father's Alexander McDonald, and my mother's Donna Stevens, and ever since I was a little baby girl, they always raised me in a traditional family and a cultural family. I'm a dancer. I've been dancing since I was 5 years old, and just this past summer, my niece, we started her off in dancing, and it was such a proud moment for me, and I want to be able to see that for all of our First Nations people and all of our First Nations children all across Canada, to be able to know where they came from as First Nations people. And with this bill, I don't feel that we'll be able to have all of those things that make us First Nations people. And I think it's so great that people are speaking out all across Canada on this issue. And I just want you to all speak your voice, because, you know, like, I'm terrified up here, all these people staring at me, but I know that it's important to speak out on this issue, because if we don't speak now, who's going to speak for our children down the road? And who's going to fight for us down the road? Who's going to fight for our land? Who's going to fight for our culture? So I just want to say to you all today, just thank you, Lalio, for coming out and fighting for yourselves, fighting for your future, fighting for your children's future. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Lalio. I just want everybody to know, all Canadians that are watching this, this is number one reason we will stand up and not tolerate anymore. This is why we will gather together all across the country, because our youth are explaining this to us in our communities, to their parents, and to their leaders. And I want to just give her another round of applause, because everybody that was cold warmed up after her talk. Thank you so much for your pride and your courage to speak up here. Next, I would like to ask Shelley Young from Exezoni First Nation.
I just want to say thank you, first, for all being here. When me and the youth got together, we had other single mothers like myself get together, and we saw what was going on out west. In Ontario, right across Canada. Closer. Sorry. And we just saw everybody speaking out, coming together. Out in Saskatchewan, they're, you know, in Alberta, they're out in minus 30 weather, our elders, children, you know, trying to show Harper, you know, we're united, we're here to stay. And with this termination plan, it's just, you know, it scares us. It scares us because we have children. And I don't want to get emotional to fall apart here. I've heard something. I'm a 30-year-old single mother standing here to speak out for my daughter, our children, and for our next generation to follow. We stand here together to show our solidarity and strength as Mi'kmaq people. When you first came to our lands, we graced and welcomed you with open arms. We taught you our ways. We signed your treaties that you forced upon us, and we surrendered our lands to you. We taught you our safe and you promised us a safe environment, rights to hunt and fish like we've done for hundreds of years. You promised us education for our children and fair treatment as Canadian citizens. Since then, we've endured one atrocity after another. We were forced onto reservations, had our children taken away, stripped us of our culture and our language. You brainwashed our residential school survivors to be ashamed of who they are, to get today as second generation survivors. We face poverty, addictions to deal with the pain. We have the highest number of children in foster care today. We have lands and water ridden with hazardous waste dumps, housing and health issues, to name a few things. Even with all these challenges, our people have risen up and taken back our culture and pride. We've made steps to relearn our language. We've educated ourselves to provide for our families. We have First Nations lawyers, judges, doctors, teachers, and nurses, a testament that we are as capable as you are. And we have consciously worked to give back to the rest of Canada. All you've done is take, take, and take. Now you wish to pass these bills that will eliminate us, going against our basic human rights. Changes in these bills will not only affect my daughter, our people, and future generations to come, but it will affect the rest of our Canadian brothers and sisters nationally. As the first people of these lands, we have a responsibility to speak up and do what's right for Mother Earth. Like a past warrior once said, if we must die, we must die standing up for our rights. I'd like to share a poem that my sister Marina wrote. She wrote it for today. It's called Oh Why Canada. Why do you proclaim my importance to this nation, then mobilize and labor for total assimilation? Why must we fight to make these people understand? Why can't they see that we share with them this land? This policy, this bill, this marker of disdain will leave this country barren and his government to gain. For who next in the design laying their conservative tracks? A Canadian who, in better judgment, lacks? An oath and a handshake to later rescind when his convoy had scattered our propriety to the wind. I fear for my child and close my eyes. I fear to think of her future unrealized. Living without our speak and our ways, numbered and counting our cultural days. Laudio.
Just a reminder is just how important our day here is and people to have a voice. So I'm very, very proud of all our young speakers here. I think they speak very eloquently, and obviously you see they speak from their heart. Our next speaker I would like to call upon is Chasa Demuse.
Hi everyone, it's so great to see everyone out here. I just got off the car and somebody stopped me and said, what is this all about? And that's the thing, people don't know, they don't realize what's happening within our own boundaries or our own country here in Canada. Bill C-45 doesn't just affect us as Mi'kmaq, it affects every single person. And I know that, we know that here in this circle. And it's really important that we all band together and stay together, standing strong and letting our voices be heard. We need Canada to know how important this bill is and how much it affects every single one of us. And it's so great. It's not about me, it's about these kids here. It's about their children. And it's about our country and making sure that we are protecting our land the way we always have as Mi'kmaq people. Our ancestors, they took care of us. They took care of our generation today. But now we have people in government who are not even listening to what we're saying. They're not consulting. They're not having a sit down with us. They are not really looking at the treaties. They're not helping. They're turning a blind eye to us. And you know what? That cannot happen. We know firsthand how damaging government can be to our people and to our lands. And we've done a whole lot to help our lands for today. And we need to continue that fight. And we need to continue that together as a strong nation across Canada. So Mi'kmaq territory, I am so proud to see everyone out here today. I'm so proud of all of the efforts that have happened today to get us all rallied together. I'm so, so proud to say that we are here to stand for our kids and our future children. So thank you.
Thank you so much. Our next speaker here, so we can move our speakers, is Anuvua Pictou from Bakinkek First Nation. Let's hear it up for our next youth.
Hello. I'd like thanks to everyone to be here with us today. And the reason why I came here to talk is because my grandfather was a great leader. His name was Noel Doucette, also known as Doucette. He was the one of the Mi'kmaq to stand against the white paper policy. So being his grandson, it's my role to come up here and speak against Harper. And the biggest thing about this Bill C-45 to me is the hunting and fishing rights. Because commercial and fishing just by yourself is a big one, because without commercial fishing, there wouldn't be jobs for fishermen on reserves. And also the people who don't really have the greatest jobs, And the hunting and fishing, it really spoke out to me because I went on a vision quest, and a medicine man told me before that I'm gonna have two daughters, and I want to stand up because I want them to hunt and fish as long as they can. And also with the hunting rights, it says that in the Charter of Rights, Section 25, that we're allowed to carry our customs and traditions. And if you take away our hunting rights for a male is when he slays his first moose, is when he really becomes a man. That's our tradition. And it's my part from a hunter from Bakinkek to stand up and fight for our hunting fishing rights. And I understand that these young women who are here, they're crying, because crying means that you understand and you know what's going on. And that's what all I have to say.
Thank you so much. Before we go to our next speaker, I want to acknowledge Chief Deborah Robinson. She arrived, and Chief Andrea Paul from Pictoland First Nation. I want to thank my assistants here too. Give them a round of applause. They're making sure that our speakers are ready and going next. Our next speaker is from Indian Brook First Nation, Simon Nevin.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Chiefs. Thank you all, everybody here. It makes me proud to stand here before you guys today and to be help one of the these ladies organize the event part of it. I got a message from my brothers out in Saskatoon to say that they're very proud that what we're doing here today is that we're all standing together and that what we're doing is the right thing. We look at our youth here, and that's what I said when we walked into March. I said, our youth are going to lead us in because they are our future, and they're the ones that we have to look out for. I said, then our mothers and our grandmothers and the women. Far too long, it's like my uncle said at a wedding the other day, he said, far too long we haven't listened to our women. And our women are the ones that that always were the smart ones, I guess you could say. I'll admit it. Because as men, has been as leaders so far that we haven't, we kind of messed things up. And we have to give our women a chance because, you know, they are the life givers. And when it comes back to this Bill C-45, the part that concerns me is the protection and lifting of the waters. You know, without water, we don't have life.
That's right!
You know, and that's everybody. That doesn't just affect us, not just our treaties, but without water, for clean water, you know, no one can survive. No one will live. So this is why I stand up for Bill C-45, along with our rights for who we are. I think about our future in terms of the clean water. If the Harvard government gets a chance, it's going to, all these protected lakes and rivers that are fresh water, it's going to allow them to drill for oil. And you can't drink oil, you can't survive on oil, you can't eat oil. However, water is life. And we all come from life because in our mother's womb, we are all born in water. And that's why we have a natural attraction to it. Aho! Thank you very much. Let's sit home.
Thank you so much. We got some more speakers right now. I'd like to call upon Cheryl Maloney, the president of Native Women. And let's give it a round of applause for Cheryl.
Hi, everyone. I didn't bring a speech, and I'm glad because I don't follow them anyways. But I'm so impressed from what I'm hearing from our youth. I have a commerce degree and a law degree. And the things that I would be telling you are the things that these kids are talking about. They're talking about our charter, they're talking about our treaties, they're talking about our rights. And I have a lot of people over the last few days ask me what's Bill C-45, they couldn't understand it. And I try to make it simple for them. The first thing I told them is our rights are based in our treaties. And they come from the Creator. Our relationship is based in the treaties. Our treaties are made with Britain. Our treaties, Watertown Treaty, was the first treaty signed by the United States of America. They signed their first treaty with the Mi'kmaq Nation in Watertown. Our treaties are nation-based treaties. Canada right now does not recognize us as an international state. When they come in and say we'll negotiate land claims, they have a clause that says, we'll talk to these nations, but not in the international sense. And that's, who's here? Everyone? That's bullshit. And we can't we can't just let them go on and say, you know, we're going to make laws for you. So our treaties and our relationships nation-based with Britain. And then in 1982, Canada wanted to go on its own. And Britain said, okay, we'll let you go on your own if you protect the Aboriginal treaty rights and honor and uphold them, the honor of the crown's at stake. And what's happened since then? Court case after court case after court case to fight for our rights. This government was never given authority to make laws over us. The treaties we signed with them gave them a right to make laws in our territory over their people, but not over us and not over our territories. So when all you need to know about Bill 45 or any law that this government is making is that they're not abiding by that relationship. The relationship we have with Britain, the relationship that is laid out in the Constitution of Canada. In order for Canada to be a country, they were given orders and instructions to deal with us honorably, to protect our rights. So every law they've been making in this country has been breaking that relationship, that sacred relationship. So whether it's Bill C-45 or the long series of bills that Harper has been introducing, it's they're all against our Indigenous rights as nations. And I can talk and talk and talk, but I'm gonna end because there's so many people here with so much to say. But when I went to law school and started coming back in my professional relationship, I asked my dad, Chief Reg Maloney at the time, geez, Dad, I'm talking to all these important people. What do I talk about? And so I'm ready to take down notes and, you know, what's the important issues? And he said, talk about nationhood. And that's what I've been doing. And every time I go now to meetings or any time I'm doing any work, I talk nationhood. He's never had to tell me. I never went back to him again and asked him anything. But today he gives me a little message. And because he knows I'm going to come and talk about nationhood. But today he said to talk about justice for our treaties. And today I'm overwhelmed with everyone here. And I think just a little message to Harper before I hand over the mic. I say I'm going to be quick, but I'm not. I'm kind of happy that I think Harper's been prophesized to be here. Bill 45 has been prophesized to be here because we talk about the youth and the seven generations. Our youth now are brilliant, they're strong, they're dancers. This is my son here, Chase. Chase, wave. They come out. He was born a dancer. I'm not a powwow mother. I don't know the first thing. They say, what category? I don't know. Whatever he wants to dance. Our kids are coming out strong, educated, powerful. And it's taken Bill C-45 and Prime Minister Harper to wake up that sleeping giant of our youth. Never again will we sit idle while our rights and our territories are being destroyed. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Cheryl. This day of all is around awareness, and a lot of people think, why should natives get all these special rights and so forth? We're not getting special rights, we're a nation. Treaties were not made with minority groups or special interest groups. They were made nation to nation. And this is the type of relationship that we need to have with the federal government. And they must consult with us when it deals with our treaties and things that affect us. And I want to make sure that we just keep our message going that Our next speaker here now is going to be L. Michael.
As Morty said, my name is L. Michael. I'm the daughter of the late Stephen, Captain Stephen Michael of the Grand Council. Every meeting that he had, he took me along because there was no babysitter and I'm a sookie. I got the request to join the Idol No More from Molly, I think about 3 o'clock in the morning, or at least that's when my phone got it. And I added it right away. This is the first time I ever had to go to a band council meeting because I work at, in Indian Brook at LSK. And I wanted my students to be here. I'm pretty scared to walk into the band council and ask for anything. I'm always shy and send my sister. I walked into the band council and the majority of counselors were there. I received a text message from Michelle Glasgow. Go, you have to be there. I walked into the meeting and our director of operations jumped up and said, make it so, baby L. Our Sagama, Rufus, said, do it. It's already passed. So I'm here today with a handful of my Sociology 12 class and my youth council from Indian Brook. And we're here, we're united. I've worked at the Illinois Book School for the last 5 years. 5 years ago, I couldn't speak Mi'kmaq to save my soul. Neen Dalawisit, Eleanor Michael. I'm from Illinois Book. I'm getting it back. It's not gone. Our language isn't dead. It's here and it's in us and we can bring it back. Bill C-45, you're going to get shooby whacked.
Thank you so much, our next speaker from again from Feisty Indian Brook, Nathan Sack. Come on up, please.
Tess, first I want to acknowledge the elders that are here today. My fellow Sundancers, thanks for coming out. Your support is always it's always needed out there. I want to speak about Bill C-45 and what it does to our nation. View our nation as a little child sitting there holding this toy. And what Bill C-45 is a bunch of the rich children circling this poor native child holding this toy. And as the bill passes, what happens is all these rich children and their parents suddenly show up and they got their hand on this rich toy. So what I need you guys to do out here is I want you to be heard and give this child some strength. Sit there and say, no, we're not going to take it. Sit there and say, no, 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 no. Awesome. Now keep doing that because I heard through the Twitter feed that the bill just passed Senate. So we need to keep being loud and supporting this child. Keep being loud. Say no. Keep these rallies going. Create awareness. Thanks for allowing me to speak here. And a special shout out to Indian Brook. I love you guys.
Way to go. I just also want to acknowledge our brothers and sisters and our cousins in Sydney, Nova Scotia. They're together today at 1 o'clock. Now keep it up in your game. Let's head to Sydney. And for your information, Chief Leroy is there and Chief Norman Bernard from Almaco First Nation are there. Next, I want to call upon Molly Peters. And she's also one of the main organizers, so let's give her a round of applause.
Thank you very much. Did you notice I kept adding speakers, trying to delay? But we're here, and I wanted to have an opportunity to hear what our other youth were saying, you know, it always motivates me. I'm so, my spirits are uplifted to see you all here today. So thank you from the bottom of my heart for coming and supporting such an important endeavor. And the one thing I want to share is the message of hope. When we were doing this, when we started this on Monday, and I don't know how many times I said, oh God, I want to throw my hands up and walk away. It was so frustrated. And I could always hear my dad in the back of my head and his his saying, which become our family motto, is do your best and leave the rest. So what? Okay? And so that's what we're doing here. We're doing our best and we're going to leave the rest. And so when times are tough and I go crying to my dad, I get no pity. He said, Dus, did you do your best? Yeah, but I feel like, but. Well, then leave the rest and everything will be okay. The other thing that he tells us is, they tell us, our elder tells us, this work that we do for the people, it's hard. Sometimes it's hard and sometimes we get really discouraged and we want to walk away. But they say that's when you need to have a strong heart. So that's one of the messages that I want to send to our young people, is always remember to have that strong heart and let it guide you. Follow the intuition, let it guide you. And when times are tough, just do your best and leave the rest. The one thing I think that came here to unite us was hope. We're all here because of hope. I hope my people are strong enough to get through this. I hope. But hope can only get you so far. So you take that hope and you turn it into a prayer. I pray my people are going to be strong enough to get through this. Prayer can go a long way. You take that prayer and you turn it into your belief. I believe that my people are going to be okay. I believe that my people are going to have strength to get through this. And then you turn that belief into action. And we're here. Today, my people are strong. Today, we're strong enough to get here. And that's what that little bit of hope, that little bit of spark that got us here. So I want to thank you all for coming. And there's a whole list of people that we want to thank, and but most of all I want to thank you guys. I want to thank our youth for coming. Come here, Dus. This is my daughter Madison, and one of the main reasons that we came here is for our children. And we need to raise, I was having a conversation with some women last week, and they said we need to raise a generation of social activists. I said, yeah, warriors. We need our warriors back. We need to empower our youth. So that's why she's here with me today, and that's why I didn't give up. We didn't give up for our children. So let us help empower our youth. Let us help educate them. Let's make them aware of their histories, their language, their culture, and be able to walk in both of these worlds together. You know, it's hard. They say, go get an education. But you have to be able to function in both of those worlds together. Okay. Do you want to say a couple words while we're here? Here.
Why is it important for us to be here?
I don't know.
What's in your heart?
Okay. Tell them thank you for coming. Tell them thank you. It's time to be strong and fight what's bad.
She has more to say, obviously, but I'm not sure she's going to talk right now. All right. She has a lot in her heart to express, and it's coming out this way right now. Let's hear it for Madison. I know it's getting chilly, and I know everybody's been here for a while, and I really thank everyone. We are going to have a few more speakers. I'm going to call upon Chief Rod Google from Wigglebaugh First Nation right now. Say a few words.
Thank you very much. I'm not going to take that mic away. I have often said in the past, we have stood in the shadows too long. We have always said that we have this, we are the owners of this land, but we keep saying it from the shadows. And today, we're not in the shadows anymore. All of us know what a bully is, a bully. A bully will do whatever they want to do to you as long as you let that bully do it. Harper and his government are acting like bullies. And they will continue to act like bullies as long as we allow them to do what they want to do with us. We're here today saying no. You are not going to bully us no more. We are going to stand up and fight for our rights. And no government is going to define to me or to you what Native rights are, who we are. No piece of legislation is going to say you're not Native or not Native anymore. We, as a people, we will define for ourselves who we are and what we want our children to be. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Chief Rod. I'd like to ask upon Chief Andrea Paul now from Pinto Landing First Nation, say a few words.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm really loud. I hope you all can hear me. My name is Chief Andrea Paul, and I'm here because I want you all to remember how important it is that we all stand together. Let Pinto Landing be an example of how government can, pardon my language, screw you over. If you look at our lands, we are surrounded by pollution. Pollution that was brought on by a greedy government. And now today, we live with the worry of this pollution surrounding us. Year after year, they have broken promises and consulted behind closed doors about what they want to do for Pinto Landing. Pinto Landing stood up back in January when the provincial government was offering us $3 million to not pursue a lawsuit. $3 million that they decided how we were going to use. There was no input from Pinto Landing. There was no decisions by us. So I was extremely proud when Pinto Landing joined together and said, no, we want that facility shut down. So today, Pinto Landing is entering into a lawsuit against the provincial government for the broken promises. This is why it's important that we stand up and we stand up together, because we need to protect our lands, we need to protect our waters. And I'm so very proud to be here today with all of you, and I'm very pleased with all the youth that came and spoke out today. You're such an inspiration, and it does bring us a lot of hope. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief Andrea. We're going to call upon Hector Pichter now, who traveled all the way from New Brunswick today to be able to speak. So he's going to have a few minutes to speak, and welcome to our territory here in Mi'kmaq and Halifax.
Thank you. It's good to see you all here, the young people. This is what it's all about. I'm proud to tell you that in 1983, I sat at the constitutional table, and I helped write the book on treaty and Aboriginal rights. We recognized Aboriginal women as human beings for the first time since the Europeans landed in North America. I'm all in favor of the empowerment of women. I believe that. That's the right way to go. But first, I would like to be able to say a few words about the Stephen Harper's omnibus bill. You must understand, he didn't invent that, but it was brought here first and used against us by Prime Minister John Cartier in 1996. However, we didn't know much about it, but we do now. The omnibus bill that's being used against us now to deny and to remove the rights that takes a constitutional process to do These rights, actually the Omnibus Bill was founded during the slavery movement in the United States in the 1840s. It was brought to the American Congress by a senator from Tennessee, Henry Clay, and by Daniel Webster from the state of Massachusetts. And that was a compromise on slavery. And these men were owners of plantations and people that they sold every day. Give you an idea what the government of Canada thinks for us. This is a black eye for Canada. But I would like to share with you what you probably didn't know. I'm sure some of the older people here, like myself, we fought. I've been on Parliament Hill more times than I would like to tell you about. But I'm going to tell you what the president of the National Indian Brotherhood said in 1968. His name was Walter Dieter. Walter Dieter said, "If we view this as a policy designed to divest us of our rights, Aboriginal, residential, and statutory rights." Statutory rights are your treaty and Aboriginal rights that were put in place on March 15th and 16th, 1983. "If we accept this policy and in its place lose our rights and our lands, we become willing partners in cultural genocide. This we cannot do. And I'm calling on you, the young people, the new generation, the women here, and the men who sympathize, stand up. Let's get out in the streets. That's the right way to go. I drove 500 miles to come here. Got up at 5 o'clock this morning." When you get to be late in your middle age, you need glasses sometimes. These rights that are before us now requires a constitutional resolution. In my last few words, I promised Morley, and I thank you for giving me a few minutes to speak, I want to tell you what the proper criteria is, nothing more, nothing less, exactly that. On the 28th of September, 1981, the Supreme Court of Canada laws were told to recognize, so if we're bound to buy them, they're equally bound as well, and I want you to hold them accountable. On the 28th of September, 1981, Chief Justice Borowiecki made a presentation to the media. He said there's only one criteria to amend Canada's constitution. That's where our rights are. Section 25A and B, which is our charter, 35, 1, 2, 3, and 4. 4 recognizes our mothers, our sisters, our daughters, Aboriginal women. So this is big stuff. So now, he said in there's only one criteria. That's when the Prime Minister calls a constitutional conference, invites premiers, territories, Aboriginal peoples, the media, and they must be held in an open forum, and even then, when they agreed. Backroom stuff, but they still agreed, it has to be brought to a vote where 7 premiers has to be involved, and that's the only criteria for making an amendment. What's happening right now, it's all backroom process. There are many, many men, some women that we know, I have lost faith and lost confidence in a lot of our Indian organizations. What has happened, I'll conclude by saying this. When the government of Canada under Stephen Harper said to you, Aboriginal women, "We're going to empower you. Never, never again will you lose rights when your marriage dissolves at an Indian reserve." That's what they said. But I'm going to tell you, under Section 25A, you have never, never been so powerful. Never. So anything they do is taken away from you, the women, as well as us. So I would like to say that what you need to do, you can call on me, you snap your finger, and I'll be there to help you in any way I can to understand these rights. So again, I'm so pleased to be here, and I'm proud to see all the people who support this initiative. We need thousands and thousands and thousands of people to get out, and like I said, the Omnibus Bill is a black eye for Canada because it's based on slavery, men who own people, men who sold people for profits. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. I got to pop Jim out there with the microphone. But anyway, next speaker I have is Andrew Denny.
I'm so proud of you that set this up. I want to thank them from the bottom of my heart. In 1980, when my father went before the United Nations, when he went up against Canada, as you probably don't remember, called him a terrorist. were trying to separate Canada. But the bottom line is, he was fighting for our rights, and that is what we have to continue doing. I'm pretty cold, and I got to go home to Wiskasoni right now, because I got to go back to Antigonish for a hockey tournament for my son. So, but I just wanted to say, I'm so proud of you. Waladio.
Thank you so much. I'd like to call upon Eastern Eagle drummers up here to come up here on the stage.
No?
Okay. Just clarification here. Maybe our elder Bill, can you come up and do a closing prayer for our ceremony? Yeah, we're going to do a round dance. Simon's going to explain how that's going to work with us. And, all right. Just in wrapping things up, I want to thank, first of all, KMK, who donated and sponsored the microphones and the PA system. The hard work that you did. I want to thank HRM for allowing us to hook up to the power in such a very short time. We just let them know this morning. So that's great. I also want to thank the regional police for taking care of us and making sure we're safe, marching here and making sure our say is heard today. Thank you for that, all those people. I also want to take time just to mention that any social media you have, video clips, put them on YouTube, put them on your Facebook, take every picture to show we're here. This is our first of many demonstrations we're going to need to do. If we need to do it every time across the country, we're going to be here. I'm very proud to hear the speakers here today and very, very honored to have the opportunity to be with you. We're going to close off our ceremony with a round dance, and Simon's going to explain quickly a little bit for everybody that don't know that. But before we do, I'd like to close off with a closing prayer. And I'll ask our elder Bill to come up and do a closing prayer. We're going to do a round dance, and I want to thank every one of you and hope you have a safe travel home.
Ooh, well, just like to have a grace to give thanks for us gathered here today. Sometimes we always talk and pray about how to unite our people. Well, I would just like to thank the government of Canada and Mr. Canwella, I won't say his name, but his initials are Stephen, has done the job for us of uniting us as a people across Turtle Island. And I think that this is the greatest thing that's happened in many, many years. I've been involved for a lot of years in these things, from all the way from the white paper in 69 to the paper today. So my prayer today is to give thanks, which is one of our first prayers, to give thanks for us being gathered here today as Innu people, and ask that we remain together and stand here, because we're not asking, we're not begging, we haven't got a begging bowl. We are asserting our rights on the ground right here today, and I give thanks for that. And I'm here today, and that my prayer would be, it might be a little off track of what normally how we do our prayers, but this is to give thanks for us all being gathered here today, each and every one of us from the colors of the four directions, because the treaties and the things we're talking about are all of us. What's happening there affects every single person here. So I'd just like to thank everyone, and especially to thank the Creator for bringing these blessings to us, for bringing us together here today. Om Se Noma. Thank you so much, and with that, I want to end off with our round dance. And who doesn't know how to do a round dance, which I'm not sure they're going to teach us, and we make sure that we do demonstrate peacefully. This is where the peace and friendship treaties were made. We will be peaceful, but as you hear from our youth, if we need to stand up even more aggressive when times are going to come, we're prepared to do that. So we just want to let everybody know across the country on the other rallies that are happening, we will stand with them. And I want to congratulate again the youth for putting on such a great event. Last but not least, we're going to do some closing remarks.
Test, test. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, in time of anger, what we do is we sit there and we take time while we're angry, while we're dealing with these issues, Bill C-45. makes us angry. But in our culture, what we like to do is in a time of low, we like to counteract that with a time of high. So what we're going to do before we leave here today is we're going to celebrate so you leave the protest here feeling balanced. A round dance is a positive time for celebration, time for reflection. It's a peace and friendship dance. It's done in a circle, and it is done for celebration and respect. So what we're going to do is the Chiefs are going to lead the round dance, and the girls down here are going to help out and get this organized. So come on up. It is a dance in a circle, peace and friendship. All the hands connected mean unity. The circle means unity as well and community. So go on.
Thank you. my feet. That warmed my feet up.
TJ.